Hey, good morning to you all. I want to thank you for your company today. This conference will be focused on presenting the financial results for Grupo Argos at the end of the fourth quarter 2024. This space, we have Jorge Mario Velasquez, Alejandro Piedrahita, Rafael Rivera, and their active teams of Audiencia and the real estate business. And remind you all that in our website, you can find all the information regarding the quarter, together with the presentation we'll be following during this teleconference. To download it, you can access the menu Financial Information, and then you can go into the report section. In addition, we are also broadcasting this conference via Space FX. I want to invite you to move on to slide number three so we could start our meeting. And for this, I want to give the word to Jorge Mario Velasquez, President of Grupo Argos. Thank you, Juan Esteban. Good morning to you all. I want to greet all the shareholders, investors, employees that are with us today. I want to thank you for being with us during this call. At the close of 2024, our businesses kept generating solid operational results, which has reflected in positive figures for Grupo Argos that we will be sharing up next with you all. Nevertheless, before presenting the summary of the financial results of the company and the data regarding each one of those businesses, we want to offer you an update in respect with the advancements in the split of agreement that has a purpose ending in an organized manner the cross participations that Grupo Argos and Grupo Sura have. Last 30th of January, Grupo Argos board asked, to whom speaks to you, to call upon an extraordinary meeting for its shareholder assembly that will be happening the next 27th of March, in which we will submit under the consideration of the shareholders the partial split of project by absorption, through which Grupo Argos shareholders will receive a direct participation in Grupo Sura, keeping their actual participation in Grupo Argos. And likewise, shareholders of Grupo Sura will receive a direct participation of Grupo Argos, keeping their participation in Grupo Sura. After that this transaction has been submitted, and we hope and approved, to the shareholder assembly for Grupo Argos, Cementos Argos, and Grupo Surga, will also carry out all the necessary government authorizations, including those that have to be implied by the Colombian Financial Superintendency. We want to emphasize that this operation will allow Grupo Argos to focus and specialize in the construction material and infrastructure sector, while Grupo Sura will consolidate its strategy in financial services aligned with the business plan that have been previously announced to the market by both companies. From its side, Cementos Argos shareholders, company that adhered to the agreement with the end of disposal with the of its investment in Grupo Sura, will have a share that's exclusively focused in the construction material sector. And at the end of this transaction, this shareholders will be able to access to a direct exposition both to Grupo Sura as well as to Grupo Argos. Like this, this transaction represents a key milestone that will strengthen the creation of a virtuous cycle that will benefit both companies, its shareholders, and the capital market of the country. Starting like this, a new chapter for Grupo Sura's, within which, as it has been constant during decades, the company will keep its a trajectory of profitable growth and its broad impact vision over all the groups of interest. Without no doubt, the main focalization in the infrastructure sector, driven by the end of this cross-participation and supported by the developed capacity through more than 90 years, will allow Grupo Argos to keep on drilling deeper and broadening its scope in terms of structuring, operation, and platform management of infrastructure, leveraged in an ambitious investment plan that has been executed with projects that today reach close to 40 trillion Colombian pesos in the midterm. And I would also like to highlight some of these. Cementos Argos will have a historic opportunity after the summit disinvestment that implied the cash entry close to 12 trillion Colombian pesos after the closure of this business that was closed this last 10th of February. Odinsa is advancing the execution of a broad project portfolio in Colombia that includes the expansion of El Dorado Airport with El Dorado Max project, the new Cartagena Airport, the expansion of the Oriente Tunnel in Antioquia, the road plan that's known as Conexión Centro in the Cafi region, the Vía Perimetral de la Sabana in Cundinamarca, and between others. These projects, in case of being approved and awarded, would represent an investment that's close to 20 trillion Colombian pesos. Celsia will keep executing its expansion in non-conventional renewable energies with more than 1,000 megawatts of solar energy in Colombia and close to 200 megawatts of wind energy in Peru, starting wind projects in the country, such as the wind park Carreto that's located in the Department of Atlántico. From its side, we will keep working with the real estate business, advancing in tourism and real estate projects in the city of Barranquilla, in Cartagena, and in the metropolitan area of the cities. From another side, we also want to highlight that BRC Ratings, S&P Global, confirmed the triple A rating of Grupo Argos as issuer after the signature of the split of agreement with Suda. This ratification of the risk rating reassures the robust capital structure of Grupo Argos, the favorable perspective of the businesses with where we participated, and the benefits of the announced operation when we ended the cross-participations with Grupo Suda. Our message for all our shareholders is clear. You could be easy on the fact that the future of Grupo Argos, once this transaction is executed, it's even more promising and vigorous. As I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, this decision will be submitted to the approval of the company's shareholders the upcoming 27th of March. Afterwards, we'll proceed with the regulatory authorizations in order to advance in the society split off, and we estimate that we could be ending this operation at the end of 2025 or at the beginnings of 2026. The Grupo Argos portfolio today has already experimented a significant transformation, product of its most recent transactions, concentrating in infrastructure, a transit that will end with the specialization of 100% once the company stops being shareholder of Grupo Sura. On slide that you have on your screen, we could see how the portfolio of Grupo Argos, investment portfolio of Grupo Argos, has transformed the last 12 months. Taking as reference the ledger values in our non-listed investments, such as Odinsa, the urban development business, Pactia, and others, and the price of our shares in the Colombian Stock Exchange, in terms of our listed investments, such as Celsia, Cementos Argos, Grupo Sura, Sociedad Portafolio, and previously Nutresa, we can see how, in respect to 2023, the Grupo Argos portfolio has valued close to 4.3 trillion Colombian pesos, reaching 21.1 trillion Colombian pesos. This increase is supported in the closure of the strategic transactions that we have previously mentioned and the healthy operational performance of our businesses. From another side, the disinvestment of Grupo Nutresia and the carried out transactions in our infrastructure investments have allowed for this segment to grow, representing more than two-thirds of the company's portfolio, becoming like that a clear and defined strategic route for its specialization in the infrastructure sector. And speak about the share sale and the participation sub materials. I want to invite you to move on to the upcoming slide. Noting the last 10th of February, the company confirmed the definite closure of the sale of Summit Materials to Quaker Holdings. This new step is built over the entrepreneurial spirit that has led the company to export to North America in the decade of the 50s, start deepening of our presence in that country in the 80s, and increasing the direct presence in the United States in the decade of 2000. Besides strengthening a strategic focus, the perseverance, capacities, and conviction of deploying talent and human capital for almost 20 years. This has been key engines for the consolidation and integration of the concrete, cement, and aggregate business in that geography. During this time, we have taken our green light to emblematic work sites such as the Mercedes-Benz Stadium of the Atlanta Falcons in of Atlanta, Georgia, the Coca-Cola plant in Houston, Texas, the Volcano Bay Aquatic Park in Universal Studios in Orlando, and we delivered our products and solutions in terms of concrete, cement, and aggregates to different operational centers such as FedEx, Facebook, Amazon, Disney, in between many other clients, placing not just the name of Argos, but the name of Colombia up high and of its professionals in the United States. The acquisition offer made by Quikrete and accepted by the Summit shareholders reached $52.5 per share, by which the sale of 55 million shares of Cementos Argos, that Cementos Argos owned in Summit, represented a cash value close to $2.8 billion. This amount constitutes a materialization of the investment in the United States to a value of share close to 10,000 Colombian pesos. So this is higher than the price that we had at the moment of the announcement. That was approximately 8,500 Colombian pesos per share of Grupo Argos. Product of this operation, Cementos Argos board has started an exhaustive analysis to define the optimal destination of the resources with a range of opportunities that will allow to keep on tracing this history of growth and value generation that has consolidated the company as the largest Colombian investment in the first economy of the world. As a main shareholder of Cementos Argos, for Grupo Argos, the reinvestment of these resources that today represent the most valuable assets that has been managed by this holding is an absolute priority. Because of this, we are actively and decisively working with the administration and with the board in order to ensure the best capital allocation in the construction material sector in a process that has a strategic view that does not discard any alternative that might allow to complement the geographic footprint, but at the same time should be made in an intelligent fashion in order to guarantee these resources and in order to guarantee that these resources will generate profitability in the mid and long term for all its shareholders, including Grupo Argos. This year of transformational transactions has been supported by an astounding performance of all the shares of the Grupo Argos business group. During 2024, the preferential share price in the stock exchange increased 82% and the ordinary share increased 66%, while the ordinary share of Cementos Argos grew at 67% and the Celsius share grew at 24%. This increased are over. The MSCI Coal Cup Index set a recorded an increase close to a 15% during the same period. This results respond, besides our solid operational performance, to the strategic milestones that we have previously mentioned, and to a conscious and decided effort in order to generate and transfer value to our shareholders. Within these initiatives, we want to highlight the continuity of the share repurchase program of the companies belonging to Grupo Argos, considering that the shares are still under the fundamental value, which has led us to execute more than $150 million since the beginning of the program in 2023, as the successful sprint program carried out by Cementos Argos. Committed with closing the gap between the fundamental value of our shares and its market value, we will keep on making everything that's in our reach in order to potentiate the opportunities that this new stage of simplification comes with. In the consolidated results, the company recorded outstanding figures, product of the transformational transactions such as the asset combination between Argos USA and Summit that generated a profit of 5.3 trillion Colombian pesos for the company, and the agreement to disinvest the Grupo Argos and Grupo Sura participation in Grupo Nutresa, which allowed larger economic rights in Grupo Sura, besides a net profit of 2.6 trillion Colombian pesos that came from these operations. This added to the positive performance of our business and businesses that we just went over, gave us result that Grupo Argos closed the year with consolidated revenues of 15.2 trillion Colombian pesos and EBITDA of 5.1 trillion Colombian pesos, which represents a growth of 28% compared with the same period previous year. From its side, the net profit closed in 7.6 trillion Colombian pesos and the controlled net profit closed in 4.5 trillion Colombian pesos. Under the same line, looking at the financial results, the separated financial results, we could see that the year closed with revenues of 3.5 trillion Colombian pesos, EBITDA in 3.2 trillion Colombian pesos, and the net profit in 2.5 trillion Colombian pesos. All these figures double or triple whatever we had in 2023. Now, I want to invite you to move on and look at the results of our businesses in a bit more detail. This is found in the upcoming slide number 11. Cementos Argos closed the year with results that reflect the financial solidness of the company and the rigorous execution of the strategy focused in profitability, even with a reduction of 0.3% of the consolidated revenues, which reached 5.3 trillion Colombian pesos in 2024. The company achieved an increase of 2% in the EBITDA, reaching 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos, and consolidated a net profit that a product of the combination of Argos USA and Summit Materials and the positive operational performance closed in 5.6 trillion Colombian pesos. The focus in operational efficiency allowed to optimize logistics and operational costs, strengthening margins in key markets and driving the growth of the EBITDA margin that at the end of the year reached 21%. During the quarter, Cementos Argos dispatched 2.1 million tons of cement and 687,000 cubic meters of concrete in its operations in Colombia, Central America, and the Caribbean, which represents a drop of 8% in the case of cement and a growth of 7% in the part of concrete in respect with the same period previous year in each one of the geographies. In Colombia, Cementos Argos consolidated its leadership with the market as the supplier of 80% of great work sites in the country, with a market participation that's higher than 30%. In 2024, the dispatched volumes reached 5,349 metric tons, driven to its growth of 6% in the exports toward Central America and the United States, despite the fact that the total dispatches of cement in the country have deaccelerated, mainly due to a lower activity in the residential sector. It's also important to highlight some signs of improvement in respect with 2024. These are small, but they are positive at the same time. This re-energizing, together with the moderation of inflation and with the reduction of mortgage rates, should lead to a stabilization of the cement demand in the short term and to retake its positive trend in a future, in a close by future, also supported by the fundamental macroeconomic indicators of the country. Once the market starts its recovery, Argos will be a much more agile and efficient company and fully prepared in order to take advantage of this demand expansion in a business that's cyclic. In Central America and the Caribbean, the margins kept on strengthening thanks to the optimization of the local plants and a focus in markets with a higher profitability. The revenues of this region reached $515 million with an EBITDA of $127 million. The implemented plans in the last years have proven their capacity of maximizing the value for shareholders within those Grupo Argos. The company has reached efficiencies in all its value chain. It has improved profitability and it has advanced the gap close between the intrinsic value and the market price of the share. Cementos Argos will keep on developing initiatives in order to strengthen its attractiveness between global investors, growing in market participation, and keep on strengthening its innovation and value generation capacity. Now, I want to invite you to move on to the energy business results that you can find on slide number 12. Celsia closed 2024 with a financial results that reflect its adaptation capacity. The consolidated revenues reached 6.8 trillion Colombian pesos, which represents a growth of 9%, driven by the diversification of its electric generation sources and the operational stability of the distribution and transmission assets. During the El Niño phenomenon that in Colombia implied a reduction of the water contributions close to a more than 50% during the first quarter 2024, and a volatility in the contributions for the second quarter and second semester of the year, the company, despite this phenomenon, was able to comply with all its contracts in terms of energy generation and to supply the service with no interruption to its residential and industrial clients, thanks to a solid contraction policy supported with a portfolio of reliable and balanced energy generation. The year's EBITDA reached 1.5 billion trillion Colombian pesos. This is a drop of 19% year after year. Given to this climatic condition, we hope that for this figure to be recovered in 2025 with the normalization of water conditions in the country. From its side, the net controlling profit of the company was of 222 billion Colombian pesos, which proves a growth of 15%. Within the main milestones of 2024 for Celsia, we want to highlight the start of the first wind plant construction in Colombia, that's known as Carreto. This is located in the department of Atlántico with 9.9 megawatts of capacity and will start operations the same year, 2025. This project proves the potential of wind resources in regions further than La Guajira and reinforces the commitment that the company has with the development of renewable energies in the country. From another side, the company entered the Peruvian market with the acquisition of two wind projects and with a small hydroelectric central aligned with its regional expansion strategy in stable and with markets that are stable and with high development potential. One of these projects is already operating, the other one's under construction. 2024 was also a year for Celse to keep on consolidating its solar energy leadership, reaching an installed a generation installed capacity higher than 400 megawatts through its different operations in Colombia, Panama, and Honduras. During the year, we included three new solar farms, and we advanced the construction of more than 300 additional megawatts that will start operations during this year, 2025. New technologies, such as energy storage and batteries, represent a significant advancement in terms of stability and optimization of the solar farms. That's why we want to highlight the start of operations of the first system of this system in Colombia, in Palmira II, improving the efficiency of the energy supply and opening a window of profitable growth for the company. In the fourth quarter, sorry, the consolidated revenues of Celsia closed in 2.1 trillion Colombian pesos, which represent a growth of 27% compared with the same period 2023. From its side, the consolidated EBITDA was of 355 billion Colombian pesos, which represents a drop of 19%. This results obey to the 39% increase in the generation revenues compared with the same period last year, driven by positive deviations in the charge by reliability that added 204 billion Colombian pesos. This is an effect of the climate variability of the end of the year. Additionally, we also found an increase in the energy sales, both in the stock exchange as well as in contracts, which led to a higher commercialization price average. From other operational services, the revenues reached 292 billion Colombian pesos. This represents 110% over the fourth quarter 2023. This is explained by higher sale in the assets under the BOT contract as described under the platforms of investment, the platform of the investments of Caoba and Laurel. In terms of the EBITDA, the company provisioned a part of its outstanding loans with RE, which impacted the result in 21 billion Colombian pesos. Celsia continues actively evaluating all the alternatives in order to guarantee the payment of this obligation in its favor. Odinsa, now I want to invite you to move on to slide number 17, where we could look at the Odinsa results. In 2024, Odinsa Airports mobilized close to 52 million passengers during the year. Close to 47 million of these represented in El Dorado Airport, which traffic grew 15% and it reached its maximum operational capacity, consolidating as the main connection hub of Latin America with largest individual mobility, even being higher over airports such as Mexico City and São Paulo. The operational performance, the extraordinary operational performance of these assets, which mobilizes around 70% of the Colombian air market, reflects the importance of this terminal for the connectivity, not just for the country, but also for the region. The extraordinary performance clearly shows the need of broadening the capacity of the main air terminal in Colombia. Because of this, the company keeps on advancing and investing in order to deliver the feasibility phase of the Dorado Max project that seeks to broaden the capacity of the airport with more than 60 million passengers per year, with an investment that we calculated close to 13 trillion Colombian pesos, and which development should happen in the midterm. From its side, Odinsa Vias recorded an average daily traffic of 108,000 vehicles for 2024, with three of its assets showing growth growths larger than the GDP. Autopistas del Café and Túnel Llorente mobilized 13.8 million vehicles each one, with an increase of 5.1% compared with the same period last year. Pacífico II reached 2.8 million vehicles, growing at 6%, while the El Meta Rapid recorded 9 million vehicles. This is 3% more than the previous year. Likewise, the construction of the second phase of Túnel de Oriente in Antioquia advances according to schedule. This new infrastructure, that's 100% double lane, will broaden the connectivity and the productivity of the country with investments of more than 2 trillion Colombian pesos, and will not just strengthen the regional road infrastructure, but also generate more than 2,000 direct employments during its construction. Now moving on to the Odense's operational results that are found on slide 17. The road platform closed a quarter with an average of 116,000 vehicles, which represent a 6% growth compared with the same period last year. The concession revenues for the platform grew 13%, while the EBITDA for the quarter was located in 145 billion Colombian pesos. The expected IRR for Autopista del Café is 22%, Túnel de Oriente 18%, once the expansion is included, and the Pintada concession 15%, and the Meta road grid 11%. In airports, which figures can be found on slide number 17 once again, the passenger traffic during the quarter reached 14 million passengers, representing a growth of 16%. During this period, Opine delivered to its shareholders, through retribution and loans, 333 billion Colombian pesos, from which the private capital fund has 217 billion of these. This at its same time were delivered to the investor of the capital private fund. Odense there has 50% via contribution restitution, which strengthened the cash position of the company. This operation, which offers liquidity to Odense for future businesses and developments, simultaneously impacted the set of results during this segment, given that the Opine redistribution reduces the asset valuation, given that it's a finite asset. This reduction affects negatively the net profit of the private capital fund, and at the same time, it's integrated in the set of results for Odense via participation method. Summarizing, this distribution, due to the way it was carried out, privileges the cash and places the company in a very solid position in order to develop investments such as in the water business, but it simultaneously has an accounting effect that affects the Odense financial results. Now, I want to invite you to move on to Pactia's result. The real estate business, the effective gross revenue was 95 billion Colombian pesos, which represented a drop of 19% year after year, and the EBITDA for the quarter was 34 billion Colombian pesos, with a drop of 44%. During the quarter, Pactia carried out the total disinvestment of 103,000 square meters of net rentable area, which were represented in three logistical assets, by which the company received 353 billion Colombian pesos in cash, and simultaneously implied the registration of an accounting loss of 27 billion Colombian pesos. After executing this disinvestment, the effective gross revenue and the EBITDA grew a 5% and a 1% respectively. In terms of the same assets for the complete years of the operational net revenue, and the EBITDA grew 8% and 10% compared with the same period last year. Also, we renewed contract for 179,000 square meters. Contracts were made for 65,000 square meters during 2024. At the end of the period, the fund closed with a port with non-hotel portfolio occupation of 94.2%. This represents a drop of 296 basis points compared with the same period previous year. And compared with the fourth quarter of 2023, commercial areas represented the largest growth of an 11% in comparison with the same period previous year, followed by the sectors of offices and logistics. In the commercial area, we want to highlight the performance of Gran Plaza Ipiales, Florencia, and San Antonio that reached increases of their effective gross revenues of more than 18% in comparison with the same period last year. The sales per square meter of the same brands received 10% and 1% respectively, which is a very positive signal in terms of activity recovery. Now, I want to invite you to move on to the urban development business that's found on slide number 19. The urban development cash flow business was 40 billion Colombian pesos, and we closed 2024 with a net cash flow of 61 billion Colombian pesos, which is lower than what we saw the previous year, but it's still stable compared with the average of the last 5 years. In terms of the recorded sales during the quarter, we sold 7 lots in Barranquilla and 1 in Puerto Colombia, with which we completed 14 lots that have been sold during the area in the metropolitan area in the city of Barranquilla. We also sold more than 100 hectares of rural land lots that, together with what we sold in previous periods, represents a total annual saving of 1.6 billion Colombian pesos for Grupo Argos. We want to highlight that these investments of all the land lots of Grupo Argos in Magdalena, which implies one less of a locality to administrate with less costs, and this reinforces our strategic focus in the cities of Barranquilla and Cartagena. The EBITDA in 2024 was negative. This is because in the first quarter, we carried out a deterioration of Pavas and Barú land lots, where we adjusted the proposal of urbanism costs in order to reflect the increase that we've seen in construction costs. We do realize that the situation is just accounting-wise. This never affected the cash, and this will allow us to consider more uses and alternatives for this pieces of land. Now, I want to invite you to move on to slide number 22 in order to analyze the evolution of the consolidated indebtedness. In this area, net debt closed year 2024 in 9.3 trillion Colombian pesos. This is a drop of 15% compared with the same period previous year. I would like to highlight this achievement. From the peak, close to 17 trillion Colombian pesos of net debt that we reached in the first quarter 2020, in the middle of the pandemic, the organization has been able to reduce its consolidated indebtedness close to half, deleveraging in approximately 8 trillion Colombian pesos, with the cash entry coming from the disinvestment in the United States. The consolidated net indebtedness of the company in February 2025, this is even negative. In other words, the company today has more cash than debt, which represents a clear example of the strength and financial flexibility that Grupo Argos counts with in order for its future strategy execution. The soundness in our capital structure allowed to reassure the AAA rating after the split-off agreement. Separate net debt of Grupo Argos, as detailed on slide 25, closed the quarter at 1.3 trillion Colombian pesos. This is an increase in comparison with the same quarter last year, explained mainly by the disbursement effect during this joint OPA for the shares of Grupo Nutresa, and this has already been foreseen within this transaction. Let's remember that for this operation, the company used 432 billion Colombian pesos of its cash without the need of going into larger indebtedness. Because of this, when we analyze the gross net of the company, we could see that it has just increased to 7% respect with the same period 2023, going from 1.6 to 1.7 trillion Colombian pesos. Despite the increase of the net debt given to a lower cash, Grupo Argos keeps net debt over EBITDA indicator that's healthy, which offers the financial flexibility that the company requires, closing the quarter with an indicator level of 1.7 times. Despite this disbursement for the OPA, the company keeps a solid cash position with investments in fixed rents around 345 million. The results of the Grupo Argos business proof that the value generation for our shareholders is exponentially higher when it happens under the equilibrium with the well-being of our collaborators, community development, when we care for the environment, when our suppliers grow and our customers grow, and when we carry out a conscious construction, and with this decided view of a better country and region. This vision and this business management was once again recognized during February this year when we were included in this S&P yearbook of 2025 as a result of our performance and in the sustainability corporate evaluation that this company carries out on a yearly basis. This recognition that has been received by Grupo Argos was also received by our businesses in construction materials, energy, and road and airport concessions. This fills us with pride and proves once again that our business model generates value for all its groups of interest, aligning at the same time with best practices in terms of environment, social related topics, and corporate governance around the world. Further than this recognitions, 2024, this focus was translated in tangible advancements, such as complying with the goals that the company has around climate change. In a consolidated level, Grupo Argos has been able to reduce in a 42% the CO2 emission intensity for each million pesos that has been generated in based on the baseline of 2018, consolidating a positive trend and advancing fully towards the 2030 objectives. I want to thank you for your presence, and now I want to give the word to Juan Esteban Mejia so he can help us to coordinate any doubts, questions, or queries that you might have. So let me say once again that all our team is available to answer any questions that you might have. And furthermore, we'll be open and available after this conference in order to answer any doubts, questions, or queries that you might have around our operational report. Well, thank you all. I want to remind you that you could ask your questions to the Zoom platform in the Q&A widget. For the moment, we have the upcoming question from Catherine Ortiz from Da Vivienda. Can you detail the drop in Pactia, the assets, were they sold with a discount compared with their ledger values? And if so, could we know what was the discount for? And bearing in mind this investment from Concreto, what should we expect in the shareholder change towards the future with this business? Let me give the word to Alejandro Piedraita, so he can answer about the this investment, and we could make a joint comment about the shareholder change in the capital fund. Of course, yes, Catherine, very much. As Jorge mentioned during the presentation, For the case of our results, Pactiv's transaction represents a drop of close to 27 billion Colombian pesos. The logistics assets that were sold were basically three: the Colgate asset, the Unilever asset, and the Siberia asset. The total by which we received a cash from Pactiv was close to 354 billion Colombian pesos total. From those 354 billion Colombian pesos total, to Grupo Argos, due to repartition effects, we received a cash close to 96 billion Colombian pesos. The value by which this transaction was carried out for was 7.6% under the value that we had in our financial ledgers, and that's why we get this effect. The total profitability of the asset sale was higher to an 8%. And that was basically the values that we obtained product of the logistics this investment. The logistics business this investment. Yes, I would summarize the market realities obviously sometimes lead. And this is common in these types of businesses. We also consider this in the urban development business with the cash provision that was done for 100 billion Colombian pesos. Sometimes these adjustments are recommended, or when we have a sale option for certain assets, this represents cash revenue that could be used for higher profitability businesses. It's advisable many times to do so. In terms of a shareholder change, let's remember that in Pactia we have a manager where there's no change in the shareholder presence. Here is where there's a change in some of the shareholders. Obviously, the shareholders come as a new IPs to the capital fund and with Protección and the others. But the company management, Andrés Bejarano, that's with us, does not change in its profitabilization focus. And one shareholder, and there's a swap of shareholders in the LP scheme. And this is a normal type of situation. And this also brings us to first level institutions. So, Catherine, I would say that there's no change in the strategy or in the change of orientation of Pactia. I don't know if maybe Andres would like to complement anything else. Well, Jorge, all your answers were very complete, and Alejandro's answers were also very complete. So thank you. I wouldn't have anything else to add. Perfect. We have an additional question from Catherine Ortiz, and it goes as follows. Cementos Argos proposed a high dividend for this year, aligned with the summit disinvestment. Nevertheless, the dividend proposed by Grupo Argos had a very moderate increase compared with the previous year. Can you tell us what is going to be the destination of the resources you will receive from these dividends in 2025? And what if we have a low indebtedness, you propose such a low increase? Yeah, let me give the word to Alejandro so we could go over the cash flow. The proposal made by the board in the case of Grupo Argos dividend is considering the complete confirmation of the portfolio and the uses that the holding company needs to attend. To do something that has always been within our philosophy, and that is a permanent and sustainable growth of our dividend for our shareholders. It's clearly promising, the dividend that cement business is delivering. This has been done extraordinarily because this is also the recognition to its shareholders within those to Grupo Argos to the value materialization of a thesis that have been following for several decades in the United States business. This is not the case necessarily for other businesses. For example, Essentia's dividend, according to what the board proposed, the increase is much more adjusted in terms of inflation, just plus a couple of additional points. Let's remember that Odense does not deliver dividends because it's a growth company that's focusing on exploring new growth avenues of new projects. So there's no dividend flow, nor from Odense, nor from concession business parts, Grupo Argos. And the real estate business, as we mentioned before, has some stable flows, but these are lower than previous years. So like this, the board also considered that it's also important to keep certain initiatives for the use of the resources. First, we are proposing an 8.2% increase in the dividend, this over inflation, but we also need to attend the payment of the correspondent taxes to the Nutresa transaction from, coming from previous year, which adds close to 430 billion Colombian pesos. We will keep on following with this acquisition programs that we've had for last years. And this is a way of free distributing capital to the shareholders that want to follow this avenue and dropping even more at the leveraging of the company close to 200 billion Colombian pesos. So the dividend, further than inflation, grows in real terms, but it does recognizes the realities of the revenues and the cash needs of the company in order to keep, besides this, a stability and flexibility campaign or policy towards the future. So this is like the philosophical region that we reason, sorry, that we have behind this dividend allocation. I don't know, Alejandro, if you want to complement something else. Well, no, Jorge, just to complement with a couple of figures that I believe that are important, that are aligned with what you say. If we start looking at our forecast, the way we closed our gross indebtedness last year, that was 1.7 trillion Colombian pesos. This is a figure close to 1.3. The objective for 2025 is closing debt close to 1.5 trillion Colombian pesos net debt of gross net. That's going to be very close to the net debt. So what this figure shows is that we are aligned with our net debt adjusted EBITDA indicator of 1.5 times and gross net over adjusted EBITDA of 1.6 billion Colombian pesos. So this allows us to have more flexibility. So just mentioning a couple of more figures. In terms of dividends, including the extraordinary one from Cements and the cash net that we'll be receiving from the urban business, our cash will be close to 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos. And from there, there's three steps that are key. The first one, these are the dividends that Jorge was mentioning, that in cash are 567 billion Colombian pesos being paid as dividends. The other important thing has to do with tax payment that Jorge mentioned coming as product of the OPA transactions that we carried out in a certain moment. That represents close to 220 something billion Colombian pesos. So what this proves is that we are also thinking on a dividend that's coherent with a capital structure in order to have that financial flexibility in order to pay future dividends. But from a financial health point of view, we can keep being robust with a triple A rating. Well, thank you, Alejandro. We received the upcoming question from Nicolas Gomez Penagos. Good morning. Let me ask the following question. Can you give us a guide in terms of the expense behavior for the holding? And product of this split off, will you have not requiring costs, or will this be more normalized? Well, let me just make a comment that I believe that's key. This Company has been doing a very disciplined and systematic effort in order to reduce the functioning expenses of the holding company. When you look at the expense numbers, and we could even drill down much more in detail, these figures conjugate two main areas. First is costs and expenses of the urban development business that, due to fiscal or taxation reasons, are within Grupo Argos. And because of this, we need to bear in mind that these expenses have a very important revenue associated to them. So that's why they should be analyzed separately as you analyze any other expenses of other business, both for cement, energy, or concessions. If we subtract these figures, the expenses for the holding for the last 10 years, from 2015 to 2024, have had a drop of 4.3% in real terms. So this means if you had forecasted the expenses of 2015 due to inflation up to 2024, close of 2024, the value of the negative delta between both figures is equal to close to 50% of the current expense that we have today. So there's a conscient and permanent effort that's showing drops in terms of costs and expenses for the organization. Now, within the question, there's a very important chapter in terms of extraordinary expenses. Extraordinary expenses that Grupo Argos inquired in during the last years within different processes such as public offering acquisitions, plus disinvestments of these assets, financial consultancies, legal consultancies, and strategic consultancies are relevant. And effectively, we expect that in 2025, that are actually budgeted for, we could keep some expense levels that are close to 30 billion Colombian pesos for the materialization of all the processes that are required for the disinvestment of the cross participation in Grupo Sura. In the previous year, these expenses reached 31 billion Colombian pesos. With this, I want to give the word to Eduardo Sanchez. He is with us today, so he can drill down a bit deeper in these figures. Well, thank you, Jorge. I think there's a very important message that we need to deliver to the market. With the exercise that we have been building for more than a decade, from the financial VP, looking for a proper cost and expense structure of the company, adjusting ourselves to this efficiency, continuous efficiency pattern that we're looking for, that we're seeking after, and that we want for 2025 to have a composed minus 2.4% drop. We hope that for 2025, we can materialize a reduction in real terms of minus 3% in the expense structure of the holding. And we expect that this could also be set as a new base where we could set new structural efficiencies in terms of capital structure and cash flow of the company. There's something key in terms of the sustainability of the cash flow of the group, and that's the gap between the received dividends and the paid dividends that we use in the conversations with the rating companies that we have in order to guarantee the rating that has been kept in triple A levels since 2022. Net relation between the dividends that we pay and we receive is close to 260 billion Colombian pesos that are enough for paying the dividends, paying financial obligations, and paying the maintenance of the operation of the company. Right now, we estimate that we'll be closing 2025 around 80 billion Colombian pesos in terms of holding expenses, and this will follow with a negative trend in terms of real terms for the next 5 years, that in real terms will have a participation of less than 25% between this gap of the paid dividends and the received dividends. Well, thank you, Nicholas, for the question. I just wanted to remind you all that the enable platform, in order for you to ask questions, is the Zoom platform. Nevertheless, we have received some questions via X that we'll try to cover, and whatever we cannot cover, well, we'll just organize the way we receive the questions. We could approach them after the call. Okay, but just let me see a couple of questions that we have here on X. Johairo Giraldo asks, good morning. Congratulations for excellent management. Are you looking at new investment opportunities within the countries? There has been this rumor around CEMEX selling assets in countries different than in Europe and North America. Well, let me answer this question in a broad way. Broadly speaking, we do keep bearing in mind new investments opportunities in Colombia. As we have mentioned during the new conference, within the concession business, we have a broad range of very relevant projects that totalize close to 20 trillion Colombian pesos in case that all of these are materialized. Airports, roads, etc. In terms of energy, we're investing in wind energy plants and in the construction of a platform that has around 1,000 megawatts of installed capacity in terms of solar energy. So, of course, we keep on investing in Colombia. The resources, as I said, Cemento Sargos resources, because the question at the end has to do with resources. This is being analyzed, thoroughly analyzed, looking for intelligent and profitable investment alternatives, as I said during the conference. For this, the Grupo Argos team has been working and being supported with Cemento's management and institutionally with the board in order to analyze the different options, the investment options that we might have, as it has been already explained to the market, in case that we find operations and opportunities that are profitable and intelligent at the same time. We can make a redeployment of this capital in the United States. We would look for the way of investing part or the totality of these resources in this country. If and only if they're intelligent and profitable, we won't limit ourselves nor leave options aside that these investments in adjacent material products could be also fruitful in different parts of the region. In the specific case of Colombia, I would say that given the position that Grupo Argos has in Colombia, being a leader position, the relevance that it has as an actor in Colombia, there's not much sense, nor from an economic point of view, and probably it wouldn't be even approved regulation-wise buying assets of CEMEX in the case that they would be sold in Colombia. So this specific assets wouldn't be of our interest in Colombia specifically. In addition, we have an upcoming question coming from Santiago Mas. So when do you estimate the split off will come to an end for Grupo Sura? For this question, we could go back to slide number 4, where we have a detailed schedule. Okay, let me give the word to Rafael Oriveja that will lead us through the schedule. Okay, Santiago and everyone that's with us, thank you, and thank you for being with us, and thank you for the question. The schedule that we have thought for is this will be taken to the a shareholder assembly in March, both for Grupo Sura, Cementos Argos, and Grupo Argos. And if this is approved by the shareholder assembly, it will carry out all the paperwork required with the authorities. And as Jorge Mario mentioned, this is the Colombian Financial Superintendency, and we hope to perfect this transaction for the end of 2025 or beginnings of 2026. As we've informed to the market, the steps of this operation are thought for this to close as fast as we can. During September, we had this joint conference with Grupo Sura. Afterwards, we worked on closing the financial ledgers, separating three companies. We obtained three results with no comments from the fiscal entities. And the next step is going to be the shareholder assembly. So we hope that around the end of 2025 or beginning of 2026, we could have a perfection split off and the split off of Grupo Argos and Grupo Sura will be crossed. We have all the commitment, and we hope that at the beginning of 2026, the companies will be fully split off. Thank you very much. We don't have any more additional questions in the Zoom platform, and we will receive any additional doubts, questions, or queries that you might have through the channels we have with investors. Okay, so thank you very much. And once again, as Juan Esteban said, we are open and available for any doubts, questions, or queries that you might have. Thank you very much, and have a nice day, everyone.